You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
We're going to speak to Jill Winebanks now. She's an MSNBC legal analyst appearing on the network's primetime and daytime shows. I've seen her on there myself. She began a career as an organized crime prosecutor at the US Department of Justice, which led to her selection as one of the three assistant special prosecutors in the trial of President Richard Nixon, one of the top aides for obstruction of justice in the Watergate scandal. She also served as general counsel of the US Army, Solicitor General and Deputy Attorney General of the state of Illinois and chief operating officer of the American Bar Association. In each case, she was the first woman to hold the position. A graduate of the University of Illinois and Columbia Law School, she now lives in Chicago. And we're going to say, you've been pretty busy then, Jill.
Very busy, yes. I've had a really wonderful life.
Not a dull moment, I should imagine.
But brilliant. Definitely not.
Now, before we get on to the book, Jill, I'd just love, I've asked you, obviously, if we can do this, but I'd just love to touch with you on what's going on at the moment in America, and then we'll do the interview about the book in a moment. But so just... obviously it's moving at breakneck speed at the moment. I know you are involved with the media in the US in a pretty heavy way. So what's the latest you're getting at the moment in the States?
Well, we're pretty much on lockdown. Even our largest retail stores are now closing.
Wow.
For at least a period of time.
Yeah.
Drugstores and pharmacies are staying open, but much else is closed down. Meetings are canceled. A friend's husband died on Saturday night, and they cannot have a funeral because they can only have 10 people at the funeral home.
Oh.
So it's, you know, sadness upon sadness.
Yeah.
His death was unrelated to coronavirus, but nonetheless, it's affected by coronavirus. And
yes.
Friends feel like you can't visit. I think it's a very tough time, but actually, I mean, it's sort of a good lead into the book because... we're all looking for things to do. There's only so much television you can watch. Our movie theaters are closed down. So reading a good book is a good thing to be doing, making up for the time that we're all sitting in self-isolation.
Yeah, and I was about to say that, actually, because we're still interviewing people about books on TRE at the moment on Talk Radio Europe, so it's a great time to read a book. Just quickly, before we get onto that in particular, what effect do you think this is going to have on the election later on in the year? Because, of course, now the primaries and so on, and you know, and of course, a lot of American elections, which are pretty different to the way in which they happen in Europe, are based on major rallies and big kind of concert venues and so on, the stadiums.
Yes, we've really switched to a digital format now.
Yeah.
I'm running in today's election in Illinois as a delegate for Biden, and there's no campaigning, really. Biden himself has had digital sessions with people where you call in and can participate in a rally by telephone.
Yeah.
And it's the sensible thing to do. It has to happen. We must keep people at a distance from each other, and at a rally, you cannot do that. Some voting has been called off. The governor of Ohio, despite a court order not to do so, has ordered the cancellation of today's vote, but has put in place a way for people to vote by mail. And voting by mail may be the safest way. Mm. I early voted because today is the election, but I've already voted. And we use touch screens in Illinois, but I wore latex gloves. I used a Clorox wipe on the screen so that I wasn't touching a screen touched by someone else.
Yeah.
And, you know, you take precautions. People are staying a good distance from each other out of respect for everybody's own private space. And voting is so important that I think it's one of those things. More people may need to vote by mail, and I think there'll have to be a lot of information sent out so that people can do that. And particularly among the elderly population, notices must go to nursing homes and senior residences so that people will know that they have an option of not actually going out into a polling place.
Yeah.
Because our vote is very important. We cannot call off the elections for this reason. We just have to find a smart way to do them.
Interesting to see that how each country is reacting differently, because the UK, I think, have already called off local elections, which were due to take place in May. But it's just that's the interesting way in which we're looking at the way Italy and Spain and the UK and America are responding to this. Just to get on to the book, really, because you come along at such a desperate point in American democracy, of course, the biggest scandal being the Watergate scandal. And yet, with the, you know, with the impeachment trial this year in America, and now with this, it just seems like you know, you must have seen it all now. This must feel a little bit like a test of American democracy again at the moment.
Oh, it definitely is, and I must say, I never thought that I would see a repeat of Watergate. I thought it was a sui generis, unique happening with a unique set of characters. And yet, I know as I was writing the book, I don't mention the current administration until the epilogue, but people have commented to me that as you're reading the book, you feel like you're reading what's going on right now.
Yeah.
The parallels are just obvious. They just pop out at you. You don't need them called out. They're just there.
Let me start a little bit at the beginning, and we'll try and do as much as we can in the time we have. How did you get into law in the first place? Because I think the book focuses on the fact that you were, and still are, a woman, and you started out in a very male-dominated world at the time.
Exactly. I'm an accidental lawyer. My undergraduate degree was in journalism, and jobs offered to what was we were then called girls,
yep,
which is hence the title, The Watergate Girl, were in places like what was then called the woman's page. And I wanted to do hard news. I wanted to do foreign affairs or legal stuff. And I thought if I went to law school, I would be taken more seriously for a journalism job.
Yeah.
And that's why I went to law school. And then somewhere along the line in law school, I decided that advocacy, trial work, was something I liked and that I should do at least long enough to pay off my student loans. And of course, it ended up that I stayed with that for forever, and I enjoyed it enormously and had some great opportunities. I didn't set out to break glass ceilings. I don't think I even was aware until I got to law school that there was a quota of women in the class. 5% of my class were female.
Yeah.
That's all, 5%. And if I had known what I learned, maybe I would have hesitated, but it was
ignorance
during the Vietnam
bliss.
War, and we were told that someone would die in Vietnam because a woman, took their place in the class, and we'd never practiced law anyway, and so why were we there? I mean, it was a really tough time, and again, it wasn't until writing the book that I realized how much sexism and discrimination had impacted me personally, as well as in my career, but just my psyche was influenced by it as well.
Jill, was there anybody at the time, you say that you were kind of trailblazing in this area, was there anybody, you know, maybe just a little bit ahead of you, that you were looking up to? Any other women that were kind of few and far between, no doubt, but were there anybody else doing this?
Well, in law, the answer is no. There was one woman at the Department of Justice who was in charge of the appeals section. B. Rosenberg was her name, and she was an incredible woman and was inspirational, but I didn't know her until I had already chosen law. The person who influenced me, I would say there were two. One is Nancy Honchman Dickerson, who was a very well-known journalist in America.
Yeah.
And I met her as a freshman. She spoke to an honorary society that I was a member of. And I thought, well, she's really so exotically wonderful, and she's so interesting and elegant. That might be something that would be interesting. So she inspired me, as did Anthony Lewis, who was a New York Times columnist. They were the two journalistic influences. And I had an Aunt Ethel, who was a working woman until she had children. And she was the only woman I knew in a professional career. I guess she and her sister, my Aunt Mildred, both worked. And that was somewhat of an influence. Everybody else I knew who worked was a teacher or a nurse, the very traditional female roles. And I just somehow wanted to do something different. And my parents did not discourage me. They allowed me to follow my heart.
Now, because of time, we're going to kind of jump to the case. And if anybody wants to know how you got to that level, they'll have to read the book, of course. But even the term the miniskirted lawyer, now, I mean, you wouldn't really hear that now. I'd like to think you wouldn't, but you'd never get a man, you know, they'd never describe a man, well, not with a miniskirt, obviously, but they wouldn't describe a man the guy in the pants, or the lawyer in the pants, or the guy in the trousers, right, or whatever, as we say in England. So even that in its own right, you must have faced absolute opposition for doing what you're doing. And I even heard you talking about in another interview how you were in a room and somebody just assumed that you were the one who was going to make the tea and the coffee.
Exactly. And, you know, statistically, that was likely back then. I mean, if only a few percent of lawyers are women, and very few of those are in a trial setting, when a woman walks into a trial setting, it's assumed that she is a secretary. And clerks in the courts, you know, assume that. Defendants assume that. It's just the way it was. And you can get mad, or you can just go about your business and try to do the best you can. There were so many examples. I mean, the book could not contain them all and be within any normal reading range, because that's just the way it was. Unfortunately, you know, there's still a lot of that rampant now. It's much more concealed because now it's illegal. Back then it was not illegal. And so I think women need to be aware that they may be excluded from some things that they're not aware of. I mean, this has continued to the current day, and we just need to take steps to make sure that women have equal opportunities with the men.
It appears that, as I read your story, that if this was to happen today, it would be a different situation. Of course, things have changed a lot, but still need to change even more. But again, forgive me if you disagree with me on this, but it feels like everybody's getting offended at everything at the moment quite easily. And you seem to just almost a little bit ignorant to what was going on at the time and just kind of got on and did your thing anyway.
I think it's important to know what your goal is. And my goal was to win trials. My goal was to accomplish policy changes at the Army. And if those are your goals, then you just have to go about doing your business, and you have to put aside some of the personal affronts. And I think that's a lesson that I learned.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to use a man as the front person. In the Army, when I wanted to change things for women in the military, if I did it, it would have been a woman's issue. If the head of personnel does it, it's a human resource issue.
Right.
And if you want to get the work done, do the work behind the scenes and let a man be the front man. It's getting the accomplishment that you want done. I think that's important. But, you know, to a large extent, my book, this also relates to what's happening now in terms of Donald Trump, is that my book is about a time when the system worked. And I'm not sure that today with social media and Fox News that the outcome would be the same, even though the evidence is overwhelming. And so I think we need to take into account how we can make the system successful again and how we can make it work. And I believe it will. I think Americans are starting to see the reality and the facts, particularly now with coronavirus endangering our health, our lives.
I think this is going to focus us all a little bit away from kind of spin politics and fake news, false stuff that's being said, and just kind of focuses on actually where we get our information from. Anyway, because of time, I wanted to ask you as well, at the time when you were involved with this, I suppose one of the biggest things in American history, not just political history, but American history, were you acutely aware of the gravitas of the situation that you were in, or were you just kind of going day to day with this?
I think that as it progressed, we became aware of how acute the situation was. I think after the firing of Archibald Cox on what's known as the Saturday Night Massacre, we all became aware of how fragile our ability to proceed was and of the power that we were facing. And by the time of the Saturday Night Massacre, Richard Benveniste and I were the two trial lawyers left, and we were both in our 30s, and we were up against the White House. I mean, it's quite dramatic, but it's also quite surprising if you think about the experience that we had versus the experience that the defense team had and that the president had. And so I think we were able to accomplish it because the American people were listening to the facts. Back then, there were only three networks, and they all had the same facts. And people didn't dispute what was happening. And it was the Republicans who finally said to Nixon, "We've seen the evidence, and we're paying attention to it, and you cannot survive this. You will be convicted after impeachment if you do not resign." Yeah. Now the Republicans are saying, "Oh, I only believe what the president says. I only believe what Fox News says." And they're ignoring the actual facts that are in front of them.
That's pretty frightening, isn't it? We are out of time, unfortunately. There's so much more in this book that we could be talking about. We've touched on so many things here, but just to say that you've had such a wonderful career, and I'm not about to say that it's only, you know, that you, you know, that you've got a lot more to go, hopefully. Again, it's just fantastic. It really is. And it's my fight for truth and justice against a criminal president. We really didn't delve so much into the Watergate thing, but a lot of us know the story, but to know that you were at the center of all of that as well and part of that. The books.
Well, let's do another interview. I enjoyed talking to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Watergate girl, Jill Winebanks. And I should imagine you're pretty busy at the moment. Are you on TV and stuff quite a lot at the moment with all that's going on?
Well, right now, of course, the people on TV are rightly doctors and scientists and public health officials that we need to hear from. And that is pretty much, you know, 24/7, what we're hearing in America as we go into a total lockdown. I mean, every day. And I know from my friends in London that you're not reacting the same way in Europe, or at least not in UK, figuring that if you lock down now and you let people out in 2 weeks, it'll just delay the curve. But we think that delaying the curve may be helpful, because the more time we have to get beds and respirators, to get a vaccine, the more chance we have of people surviving who might otherwise succumb to this illness.
It's interesting. It's interesting to see, and time's going to tell, I suppose, who's got the right approach in all of this. But thank you for coming on, Jill. Really appreciate your time.
I hope it's all of us and that we all survive this.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's no question about it. I have, as of yesterday, said I'm going to stay indoors as much as possible. I'm canceling all my appointments. Even some radio shows have canceled because they need to focus on coronavirus, and one television one canceled because they aren't allowing anyone in the studio who isn't an employee.
Well, that's the same here. Yeah. But just to say, I mean, we are talking about coronavirus a lot, but also we're also very much aware that people are listening to us all the time, and we want to try and bring in some other stuff as well because it can become all consuming, and I've got to switch off sometimes, otherwise I'll start getting depressed. So
I agree completely, yeah. And I think that's what's so important is let's use the time that we have now to do some things that we have always wanted to do and just relax and read and watch movies, do things that will bring us pleasure. And I think we have to keep informed. There's no question about that. But I think we also have to take breaks from the constant barrage so that we're not depressed.
Jill, wishing you all health and safety and happiness. Take care.
Thank you, and to you too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.